What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer. We are two writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and now we've been covering the Chargers for over five seasons, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, and now we're going into our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, on the last show, we had Sports Illustrated's Jason Hirschhorn on the show, and he really brought it. So that was a really good interview. On today's show, we are going to start with some news that the Chargers have been linked to Teddy Bridgewater. So that's a new development in the Chargers quarterback chase this free agency if they're going to bring somebody in. So we're going to start with that. And in the second segment, we're going to be talking about an article that was put out by ESPN's Bill Barnwell, going over five ways the Chargers could fix their roster this offseason. So there's some interesting points made on there. So we'll talk about that and maybe some really important things you might have missed on there in the second segment. And then we're going to be wrapping the show up today with voicemails, as we always do every Monday. I called you guys out and said you had to call into the show, and you responded in force. So we have three voicemails from some guys we haven't heard from in a while. Tim Nameless and Curtis Loki talking about what Tyrod Taylor is going to look like as the quarterback, talking about this team is going to be competitive going into 2020 and much more. But David, let's get into it. The Chargers have an obvious void at quarterback since they mutually decided to part ways with quarterback Philip Rivers after 16 seasons. And there's a new quarterback in the news this week linked to the Chargers. This is Daniel Wade joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Over the weekend, Bleacher Report's Mike Freeman said that Los Angeles has been consistently attached to quarterback Teddy Bridgewater in talks ahead of free agency. So, David, we know the Chargers' quarterback position is not resolved. Tom Telesco and head coach Anthony Lynn said that they like their internal options, but Teddy Bridgewater brings up an intriguing prospect if the Chargers do decide to bring in another quarterback in free agency. We don't know where they're going to go in the draft, but if they were to bring in a quarterback like Teddy Bridgewater, it might decide some other things depending on what that contract is going to look like. With Teddy Bridgewater's success from last year, what did you think when you saw that the Chargers were now linked to him in free agency?
I mean, I was a little bit surprised just because he doesn't fit the exact mold that Anthony Lynn said that he is going for. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater has had a little bit of success running the football in the league, not very much. And that's the big point, is he said on many occasions that he is looking for a quarterback that has a running pedigree, that can extend the play, that can, you know, run the football and run the option if need be. And Teddy Bridgewater, looking at his stats, doesn't really showcase that ability. I mean, last year, his most recent year where he had, you know, some success, you know, he threw the ball quite well. I mean, he had, you know, he started five games. He threw nine touchdowns with two interceptions. Running the football, he only had 28 rushing attempts and 31 yards. So that's not the type of running pedigree that Anthony Lynn is looking for. And Tyrod Taylor, already on the roster, has a much more established pedigree in the league. He's rushed for a lot of touchdowns in his career and is a very effective runner in the NFL. So I think, you know, comparing Teddy Bridgewater to Tyrod Taylor, I think Tyrod Taylor is going to fit the mold a little bit more closely than Teddy Bridgewater.
Yes, in his time in Buffalo, Tyrod Taylor ran for more than 400 rushing yards in each of the three seasons that he was the starter, playing in 14 games or more in all of those three seasons. And Teddy Bridgewater is obviously going to have a lot of traction coming off of the run he had last year in New Orleans, like you talked about the stats he gave. But there, he was also 5-0, and if you win in the NFL, especially for five straight games, that is going to draw a lot of attention. I mean, we saw in a different situation what Nick Foles was able to do in his Super Bowl run, winning Super Bowl MVP, and then Case Keenum taking the Minnesota Vikings to the NFC Championship game, and he got paid by Denver the next season. So we've seen quarterbacks make runs like this. And right now you're paying Tyrod Taylor $5.5 million to be your starting quarterback this year, a two-year $11 million deal for Tyrod Taylor last season. And now you can either have a bridge quarterback in Taylor who is going to be cheap, or to get a quarterback like Teddy Bridgewater, it's probably going to take a multi-year deal, David, a lot of guaranteed money.
If you look at a tweet by Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, he said that Teddy Bridgewater is expected to have a strong market in free agency and could land a multi-year deal close to $30 million per season. And man, that is a lot of money. And I don't know if the difference in production is going to warrant spending a large chunk of your cap space on a quarterback when you have many other holes to fill. I don't know if the difference in value between Tyrod Taylor and Teddy Bridgewater is going to warrant that much of a difference in contract. I just think that you would get similar stats out of Tyrod Taylor at an incredible discount. If you look at the starting quarterbacks in the NFL that is not a rookie, most of those guys are making $20+ million per season. And if you can get similar production out of Tyrod Taylor for $5.5 million, just imagine all the other avenues and all the other places that you can address and fill needs in free agency, like on the offensive line, like on the defensive line. There are plenty of established players out there that are going to be free agents that you can bring in and make immediate impacts to help your team while having a bargain at quarterback with Tyrod Taylor.
And I think what it comes down to is Teddy Bridgewater going to be the quarterback that is going to take you over the hump and keep this win now roster the way it's currently formatted with so many players going off of the books after next season, then I think you would do it. But you're also sacrificing if you draft a young quarterback and now he's sitting behind Teddy Bridgewater for 3 seasons with $50+ million in guaranteed money. So I understand why he could potentially be linked to the Chargers, but I think this is nothing more than a rumor right now that we're going to have to see a lot more convincing reporting before it's taken seriously. But we do have two more segments to get into, getting into 5 ways the Chargers could fix the roster during this offseason before wrapping the show up with our voicemails. But first, I need to tell you guys about our great sponsors over at BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Right now, you guys can get a special deal since you listened to Locked On Chargers, because if you... Right now, we have a special deal for our listeners, specifically if you guys go to Blue Chew. .com, you can get your first shipment for free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON, one word, all caps. All you have to do is pay $5 in shipping. The product is free. Again, that's BLUEChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. And one of our other favorite sponsors is Metro Infinity, the best car dealership in California. They are the number one volume dealer in California, and they're the only dealer in California that is family-owned and have been in business for over 25 years. You can find them right off the 210 in Monrovia, and you have to check out their multi-million dollar facility and see the amazing selection of new and used cars. One of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity is you don't even have to go into the dealership if you don't want to. They will bring the car and the paperwork to your home or office, and you can complete the whole transaction there. They take pride in not being your typical car dealer where it takes hours to buy a car. They don't play games, and they want their customers to have a luxury car buying experience. If you're in the market, you can reach them at 626-599-7510 or at MetroInfinity.com. If you or anyone you know is in the market for a new car, please give them a chance to earn your business. Trust me, you won't regret it. All right, David, well, now it's time to get into the next segment, talking about an article written by Bill Barnwell about how to fix the Chargers in the 2020 offseason. So we're always looking forward to how the Chargers can really change this roster and make it competitive again this season, given all of the big question marks around the team. But Bill Barnwell thinks he has it figured out. So quickly, we'll go over what he thinks is going to fix him. He does it in 5 steps. The first is franchise tagging Hunter Henry. The second is fix the offensive line. Third is add a quarterback, whether it's through the draft or a free agency. Fourth is get Joey Bosa extended to a long-term contract extension. And fifth is pick up Mike Williams' fifth-year option. So, David, on the surface, if you're ranking them 1 through 5, number one right here is Hunter Henry getting franchise tagged. Do you think that's the Chargers' number one priority this offseason?
I don't know if that's the number one priority this offseason. For me, it's upgrading the offensive line. I mean, having an offensive line that's been ranked above 26th only one time since 2014, according to PFF, is a gigantic problem that they have failed to address, obviously, for several years. So I think that is priority number one. And I don't know if I like the idea of franchise tagging Hunter Henry, I think we just lock him up with a long-term deal. I'm talking 4 or 5 year deal because I think he's earned it and he's young. There's not a lot of tight end value out there. The only other guy is Austin Hooper, and I think Hunter Henry is a much better player than Austin Hooper. So I don't know if that's the number one priority for me, and I don't like the idea of a franchise tag either.
I don't mind a franchise tag if that's what it takes, because I think if you get him on a franchise tag, then you can continue to work out a long-term extension while he is safe from other teams. So the franchise tag part of it, I don't necessarily have a problem with. I would say the offensive line is more important to fix first. And I would say that, you know, having a quarterback is probably more important as well. I guess some people could be more sold on Tyrod Taylor than I am, but I think that getting a quarterback in the mix to do something with this roster who has so many guys coming off the books next season, that has to be higher on this list than third. I mean, right now, if you're going out with Tyrod Taylor, that's fine. But I think finding the quarterback of the future, which is not Tyrod Taylor, who has 1 year left on his deal with the Chargers, is going to do that. You need to get people excited about going into this new stadium. And taking a look at what else Bill Barnwell has to say, I think there's a couple of things that he really missed out on as far as big things the Chargers have to do. So, David, if we're talking about the one biggest thing he doesn't address in fixing this roster, what do you think that is?
So, for me, it's two things. One is a third wide receiver. I think the Chargers would benefit greatly from having a guy that can stretch the field that will bring incredible speed to take the top off the defense, something that Travis Benjamin was supposed to be, but never matriculated into. That's a big need for me. And the second one is corner. I think they need to add an established corner opposite of Casey Hayward. That I think that would make a tremendous difference on the defensive side. There's not many holes on that defensive side, but a corner is one glaring one for me.
Yeah, I think those are the big two that get left off of this. I mean, there's no coaching changes or anything like that on here. So as far as additions and subtractions to this roster, I think those are all big moves. I would also say trimming the fat is one of the biggest things the Chargers have to do this offseason, and that means there's going to be some cap casualties. That means taking a closer look at Thomas Davis's contract, taking a closer look at Denzel Perryman's contract and Brandon Meebane's contract and Travis Benjamin's contract. I don't know about you, David, but for me, you have to take those guys out of the picture and find out what that cap space is going to be. Even Russell Okung has a huge cap number. And I think so when you're talking about what you have to do to fix this roster, I think that means having the most flexibility that you possibly can. And I think you do that by trimming some of the fat and cutting or releasing some of those players.
Not only releasing some of those players, but using that cap space and being more aggressive at attacking your needs. I think that's one of the things the Chargers have sorely lacked in free agency the last several years. Obviously, they haven't had the type of cap space that they are going to go into this offseason with, but they need to use this money wisely, but they need to be aggressive when they do that. If they have players that they really want to bring in, I think they need to offer them fair deals and get them in the building. I don't want to see them mess around. I want them to use that money and aggressively attack the holes.
And I think another big thing that's going to have to happen this offseason is going to be the Chargers deciding, are you rebuilding or are you reloading? Because those are two completely separate things. I mean, you're either tearing it down, rolling out there with a rookie quarterback and trying to sign as many of the talented players that you have coming up with their contracts ending soon and going from there. Or are you going to try to have a stopgap, whether it's, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, like we talked about, or rolling out with somebody that's better than Tyrod Taylor? Those are all things you're going to have to figure out. But I think two of the things that are pretty important is, I mean, obviously picking up the fifth-year option on Mike Williams to me is a given. I mean, right now you need a third wide receiver. You can't even think about the fact that you might be down another receiver with how shallow it was behind them. Keenan Allen's contract is up after next year as well. So picking up Mike Williams' fifth-year option and keeping him under team control until 2021 is absolutely something the Chargers have to do. I think the chance that they don't do it is less than 5%. And getting that Joey Bosa contract extension figured out and keeping one of the foundational parts of this defense and one of the few players on this team that you look at and say he is a true game changer and one of the elite players at his position. Those come in at fourth and fifth on this list, but I think there's an argument to be made that they could even be higher, even knowing the offensive line and the quarterback are big needs as well.
If your philosophy is draft them and sign them, then you need to adhere to that philosophy. And that means it's not even a second thought about picking up Mike Williams' fifth year option. I think he's shown incredible grit. He played the entire year pretty much hurt. And he still went out there and still made circus catch after circus catch. I think he obviously deserves it. That shouldn't even be a second thought in your mind. It should just be automatic. And as far as Joey Bosa is concerned, I am in 100% agreement that that deal needs to get done right now. The sooner, the better. That guy is going to command a lot of money, and rightfully so. He is one of the best players at his position, like you said, Daniel, and he's going to get paid like one. I would prefer that the Chargers are the ones to do that, and they do it right now, because if they wait and they hedge their bets on him not having a good year and he goes out there and has an incredible year, that's just going to drive the price tag that much further up. I think they need to sign him now, give him the money that he's earned, and don't even think and just set it and forget it. Sign him and forget about it, because he is an incredible player in this league.
And it's not just the fact that he's an incredible player, but it's also the position that he plays. I mean, that is a position that gets paid. You're giving big money to that position because it's so hard to find players that can do everything that Joey Bosa can do. And he's proven it. And that's the thing with the Mike Williams side of it, is doing this, picking up that fifth year option means you get two more seasons to decide what you want to do with Mike Williams going forward. I mean, he had 10 touchdowns 2018, but then came back with a career high in receptions and yardage while dropping his touchdown numbers in 2019. So this gives you two more years to see if he can stay healthy and kind of blossom into the wide receiver who's doing more than just catching giant jump balls down the field. So I think those are really big steps for the Chargers to continue to try to keep this core together and figure out what this post-Philip Rivers world is going to look like. And even though I think when you look at this, if you follow these five things, you're still going to have a lack of depth at defensive tackle and an overall lack of talent at the position, you're going to have a struggle to find a second cornerback to go opposite of Casey Hayward, because Brandon Faison and Michael Davis are not going to cut it. And you're going to really roll the dice with not bringing in a wide receiver to compete for that third wide receiver role, which was just absolutely terrible last season for the Chargers. But as far as helping the Chargers continue to have a competitive roster, I think this is a good start. But we do have one more segment to get into. It's time to get into some voicemails. We have Tim, Nameless, and Curtis Lowkey coming up right after this. All right, well, it's time to get into a segment we get into every Monday and usually twice a week, and that is getting into some voicemails. I called you guys out on one of the prior shows and said that you guys needed to start calling back again because I was missing some of you guys. And today we got a bunch of recurring guests coming on and calling into the show. I'm glad to have you guys back. I'm glad that you responded to it. I'm glad you guys enjoyed the fact that I called you out and wanted you to come create some content for us. So I really appreciated all that. But we're going to start with Nameless, who called in basically right after we released that show, telling you guys to come in. And we haven't heard from Nameless in a while, so let's see where he's sitting at these days with the Chargers.
Hey guys, this is Nameless. Haven't called in a while, just heard you guys' call out to get back some of the older callers. So here we are. Hey, I just want to talk about moving forward with the quarterback position, the big elephant in the room. Here's what I would like to see happen. Go after Teddy Bridgewater. Go all out for him, and then build your O-line. Build your O-line through draft and free agency. Get Teddy Bridgewater in there, because I'm in a mode of win right now, and I think this guy could be a long-term quarterback. He's a good character guy. He had his one horrible injury, but he showed that he can still play last year in Drew Brees' absence. I would go after Bridgewater, give him a solid, fair contract offer, and see where we go from there. I don't like the rebuilding, drafting a rookie quarterback, because this team has the talent right now. They have to get it done within a year or two, or else they're going to have to scrap the whole thing and lose all their stud players and start all over again. So I go after a free agent like a Teddy Bridgewater. I see future in him. I don't like Tom Brady. He's too old, or some of these other guys, but I do really like Bridgewater. Love Rivers. Adios, amigo. Love what you did for us. Good character guy. One of the best ever. Thanks, guys. Go Chargers.
All right, David. Well, this is kind of nice because we already talked about our thoughts on Teddy Bridgewater before this. So you kind of have our general idea on how we feel about Teddy Bridgewater. But I understand why drafting a rookie quarterback can be scary, trying to know if you're going to rebuild and all of that, and not wanting Tom Brady because he's too old. I get all of that too. I mean, Tom Brady speculation is only to increase the fan base and nothing else. I mean, whether or not he can really take this team or any team without Bill Belichick, that's getting on about something completely different. But as far as Teddy Bridgewater goes, David, just how would you feel if that's the way they decided to go, if they put all of their eggs in the Teddy Bridgewater basket and decided not to go with any other quarterback in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, if they don't go with any other quarterback in the draft and they do go with Teddy Bridgewater, then it has to be offensive line, because right now I don't want to really bring in any quarterback with the offensive line that is currently constructed right now. I mean, how can you feel comfortable with you know, the protectors that you have in place right now? I mean, you just can't. I mean, you just can't. So if that's going to be the big move, is bringing Teddy Bridgewater, then there needs to be an emphasis on bringing in pass protectors that can actually allow him to sit back and do his job. Because like I mentioned earlier, he's not much of a runner. He's more of a pocket passer. He can extend the play, which he has shown that he can do, but he really is going to sit in there. And sometimes he holds onto the ball a little bit too long. And, you know, if you got a quarterback that holds onto the ball too long, then you need to have pass protectors that are going to give him enough time to make those decisions. So if you bring in Teddy Bridgewater, you got to bring in offensive line as well. And I think you got to address it no matter what, in the draft and free agency, in both places, if that's going to be the way that you want to go.
And I think that Teddy Bridgewater, the book is still kind of unwritten for him. I mean, he had such a freak injury that cost him basically two seasons and was so bad that teammates were reportedly throwing up on the field and they had to cancel practice. This guy has fought back from that and went 5-0 last year. So when it comes to Teddy Bridgewater, I think we've seen him take a talented roster and have success with it, but you don't want to be the team that's signing Matt Flynn. You don't want to be the team that's signing Case Keenum after a trip to the NFC Championship game, or Nick Foles with what that contract's looking like right now in Jacksonville. You want to try to avoid that at all costs. But we do have another caller asking a similar question about a different quarterback already on the Chargers roster. Let's see what Tim has to say this week.
Hey guys, this is your boy Tim. Just wanted to call in, kind of bummed. It's like Phil Rivers isn't going to be coming back. Number 17's gone forever from the Chargers. And I got to say, pretty down. You know, 2018 had a pretty good season with that man playing quarterback. And some of the differences I see is our offensive line stayed healthy. We had a third wide receiver and didn't have as many injuries. But, you know, holes weren't filled on the off season, and now Phil's gone. Hey, you know what? He's the baddest Charger quarterback ever play for the Bulls. The toughest man to play with the torn ACL. Just throw it all out there on the line. Yeah, he had a lot of interceptions last season. But a lot of those, you know what, guys? You got to look at those interceptions. A lot of times, you know, these aren't our timing routes. He's throwing that ball up there, and he's expecting some of them tall-ass wide receivers to out-jump the corner or the safety or whoever's covering them, and that just didn't happen often enough. And, yeah, you know, I'm not gonna say that all his sins are forgiven, because he did throw some horrible interceptions, but I think we had a better chance with Phil still behind the reins and trying to move forward from what we had in 2018 and move on, because Lynn's just, you know, he got his boy Tyrod in there, and that's who I think is going to end up the quarterback. And I just think that Telesco and Lynn have just made Phil Rivers their scapegoat for all their sins, and now they're going to let him move on. And then they're going to have to stand up like big boys and pull up their pants and see if they can put a season together in 20. But I just don't see it. I think we're going to see the end of the Telesco and the Lynn era, unless they change their ways, especially Telesco, unless he comes in and grabs some players. Man, do something, make some trades. You know, step out there like a big boy. Don't sit back and do nothing, Telesco. Do something, man. I'm sick and tired of watching you just sit back and draft players. And your drafts aren't great. We've already talked about that. But anyway, pretty bummed. Kind of want to sit out as a Chargers fan one season just in protest. God, you know, I've taken enough abuse from the Chargers in the past 30-some seasons or so. I mean, gosh. Anyway, okay, guys, just wanted to check in with you. As far as a question, what do we look like with Tyrod Taylor as quarterback? God, I hate to even say it. It makes me put a bad taste in my mouth. I feel like puking. But what do we look like with that man as our quarterback?
All right, Tim. Well, I know it's been a while, but it's good to know that you still don't know how to leave a less than 3-minute voicemail. Just mess with you. I'm glad to have you calling back on the show. We missed your calls, definitely. Always bring some funny stuff for us to talk about. And I guess, really the only question here that you have was about Tyrod Taylor. So, David, I'll start with you. What do you think the Chargers team is going to... What is this team... David, I'll start by asking you, what is this team going to look like if they roll into this season with Tyrod Taylor as the starting quarterback?
Well, I think the biggest indicator of what the team would look like with Tyrod Taylor a quarterback is to look back at what it looked like when he was the starting quarterback for Buffalo. So when he was the starting quarterback for Buffalo for those 3 years where he had some good success, the Buffalo Bills ran the football a lot and ran very effectively. And I think that's something that Anthony Lynn already wants to do, is a core philosophy of his, along with having a running quarterback. So I think the Chargers will have a large commitment to running the football and passing the ball as a complement off of the run. So I think that was really going to be what the offense would look like with Tyrod Taylor under center for the Chargers. So look for that kind of fundamental shift from Phillip Rivers slinging the ball all over the yard to the Chargers really running first and passing off the run.
And I think when you're talking about what is this team going to look like with Tyrod Taylor as the starter, and especially talking about what you did with Phillip Rivers and talking about the fact that, some of those interceptions were his fault and you're not forgiving him, but there were some that were definitely not his fault with receivers not being on the same page or whatever the case was. If you put Tyrod Taylor on last year's team, I think it looks still pretty bad. I don't think he takes the team to the playoffs last year. Now going forward, do we have a starting offensive right tackle that's an NFL caliber player? Do we have a third wide receiver that's one of his weapons? Do we have some pressure on the interior of the defensive line? Do they fix some of those other issues they have back there? There's so many other questions as far as what the team's going to look like. But scheme-wise, there's already a lot of people saying the Chargers are going to more of a wide zone running scheme, so they're going after more athletic offensive linemen in plays like that. So I think you are going to see a lot of what you saw in very short periods with Tyrod Taylor as the quarterback last year. Run pass options, read options, getting him out of the pocket, trying to get your offensive line moving, because now you can have some plays that go outside of the pocket. But for me, the ceiling just isn't there with Tyrod Taylor. But we do have one more caller calling in, Curtis Loki, sneaking his call onto the show today. Let's hear what Curtis has to say.
Hey, guys. It's Curtis Loki. I couldn't help but get a good laugh out of your last podcast, calling us callers out and asking us where our content has been. Sorry about that. But anyway, I do have a question for you, though. So I've been doing a lot of scouting and or film watching on Justin Herbert, just because in every mock draft he is mocked to us, and man, I gotta say he's like a poor man's Josh Allen with less accuracy. And that's ridiculous considering that we would be taking him with the number 6 pick. And so with that, I don't know how sincere the direction of the organization is in regards to suggesting that we're going to be a competitive team next year. So what are your thoughts on just kind of going away with the whole let's take a quarterback at number 6? Obviously, if Burrow or Tua slid down to number 6, that's one thing. But in the event that doesn't happen and Justin Herbert's there and we do not take him, I was thinking about going in the direction of the offensive line and only that. I tried to throw it in there. Isaiah Simmons would be dope, and then that defensive tackle, I'm forgetting his name, but he's extremely dominant. But at the same time, it's like we just need to shore up the offensive line regardless of who is under center. So that's just kind of my thoughts on it. And I just wanted to know what you guys have been thinking about that number 6 pick, and if you have gotten an opportunity to watch Justin Herbert. Anyway, I love your guys' show. Keep it up. I'm always listening. Go Bolts.
Well, Curtis, I get the Justin Herbert hate. He's a very polarizing player. If you ask 10 different people what they think of him, probably 5 people are going to say they like him and 5 people are going to say they dislike him. If you're talking about a team like the Colts right now who are sitting, in the teens of the draft, they're probably talking themselves into Justin Herbert being one of the best quarterbacks in the draft and saying that if he falls to them, they're going to get the steal of the draft. So at sixth overall, I understand that, but I definitely think he's more accurate than Josh Allen. But one of the things that surprises you about that is when everyone's talking about him, it's always about the physical tools, not about the reads and all of those things. Even though they say he's a very high IQ player, it's always about he has the tools. And that's what you heard with Josh Allen. I would say the other big difference is, David, Justin Herbert was at least a winner. At least he went out there and won games at Oregon, something that Josh Allen had a much tougher time doing at Wyoming.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, obviously, Justin Herbert has a lot of tools. And, you know, in his offense, the way it worked, there was a lot of screens and a lot of easy throws. So you didn't really even get to see a lot of the tools, you know, like the big arm and, you know, the running ability. I mean, he showcased it, but, you know, you just didn't really see the processing. You know, everything was made very simply for him. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that think that he would do better in a more NFL style passing offense. And obviously that's going to remain to be seen on whether he is going to perform in that style of offense and where he's going to go in the draft. Anyway, for me personally, I would rather Tua Tagovailoa as the Chargers quarterback if they were going to draft a quarterback. And I'm also of the mind of drafting a rookie quarterback so you can have flexibility in other places. There's plenty of examples out there where they've drafted a quarterback and utilized money to shore up other spots on the roster. I think that is the way to go. I am not a huge Justin Herbert fan right now, but we still need to dig into the tape a lot more than what we have right now. We've only looked at him at a preliminary level.
Yeah, and I mean, what I've seen from Justin Herbert is that he does have all the skills. You could run whatever type of offense you want. You could run more traditional and try to use his athleticism to get him out of the pocket and keep him out of harm's way. But you're going to have an offensive line. He had a good offensive line at Oregon, but I didn't really ever see his skill receiver players. I mean, there weren't a bunch of first round picks he was throwing to, even though that scheme gets people to have some pretty big numbers. It wasn't like he was chock full of first round picks like Tua throwing to Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs and those guys. So I think it's yet to be seen, and I think people's opinions on Herbert are going to change after the combine, after the pro day, and all of those things as well. But we are out of time for today. Until next time, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. If you guys want to be like Tim and Nameless and Curtis getting on this show, you have to call into 323-524-7924. Every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show. But we'll be back with you guys later on in the week. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.